Blog Talk Radio.
So long.
What it's about. It's about believing. When you believe, you act. If you're not acting, you're not believing. You have to act on the word of God. So if you're not acting on the word of God, you don't believe the word of God. Whatever you are acting on, that's what you're believing in. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, the apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly are happy to have each and every one of you all. I was playing that song because we can say goodbye to sickness. We can say goodbye to depression. Say goodbye to it. Believe it. Goodbye. Good riddance. Stay in 2021. Say goodbye to the sorrow. I know you've had enough sorrow. You don't need no more. So let's say goodbye to it. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready and have a word of prayer. Some of our prayer warriors and participants haven't showed up as of yet, but that's not going to stop the word of God. Pastor Bill, she's doing a ministry, and she'll join us shortly. And that's the only one that I've texted and I can give account for. Okay, but we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the lesson from this week. This is a review. I know some of you all are listening by internet, but for those that are participating, if you want to say something based on the scripture, you have a question based on the scripture, all you do is press 1, and we'll let you in the broadcast. We don't just keep it open like that because we just get too much friction and too much static and stuff like that. So we just rather, if you want to have something to say, just press 1 and we'll let you in. Okay. Heavenly Father, we come because your word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good, the bad, the ugly. We thank you. We thank you for your word, most of all, because it's in your word, Heavenly Father, that we learn whose we are and what we are. I thank you for your word, Father God. It is to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our pathway. I thank you, Heavenly Father, which your word declare over us. We are the head and we're not the tail. So I thank you, Father God, that I'm knowing who I am now because of your word, because I can look to your word, Father God, because you are our Father, which art in heaven, and hallowed be your name. And we thank you that your kingdom did come, and it dwells with us. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for patience. I thank you, Father God, for your word declare and decree that we are children of yours because we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for forgiving us of our sin and being washed in the blood, according to Ephesians 1 and 7 and Hebrews 9 and 14. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are new creation. Old things are passed away. We're not living in 1921. We're living in 1922, hallelujah. So the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I thank you, Father God, for newness. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are the temple, because 1 Corinthians 6:19 decree and declare that. So we'll put ourselves in agreement with your word, Father God. Your word says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. So we've been redeemed from that. And so I want to take a moment to say thank you, Father God, for redeeming us. We'll not take your word lightly, Heavenly Father. But we won't take it as a grain of salt, but we'll take it as coming right from you, Heavenly Father. You decreed and declared in 2 Peter 1 and 4 that we are partakers of a divine nature. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're allowing us to be partakers of your divine nature. I thank you for it. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're your workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We've been created for a good work, according to Ephesians 2 and 10. And I thank you for it. Father God, I ask you, because you are a promising, keeping God, that whatever we say and not doubt but believe it, Father God, that we can have it, and it will be done. I pray for those that are giving out spiritually. I pray, Father God, for those that are giving physically. I pray, Father God, for Luke 6:38. We'll give and it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You, Heavenly Father, will call men to give unto our bosom, and we thank you. As we give, we shall receive. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for this awesome country, a place of freedom where we can speak the word of truth and not go to jail for it. I thank you for it. I pray, Father God, that your spirit stays over America and we'll never get in bondage like a lot of these other countries and be dictated to. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that your word said by your stripes we are healed. I thank you, Father God, that Jesus is the Lord of my life and he's the Lord over our lives. And I thank you because sickness and disease had no power over you. It had no power over us. I am forgiven. I am free from sin and guilt. Your word declare I'm dead to sin and alive to your righteousness. And I thank you for it. Father God, also I thank you right now for those that have asked us for prayer, those that have asked us to put ourselves in agreement with them. Father God, we put ourselves in agreement with those that will believe what the word say and only what the word says. We put ourselves in agreement with them, and we pray for those that are have been bound by Satan's rules and laws, family members, friends. We bind it right now, and we say, Satan, you got to loose them and let them go. Those that are in the prisons, Father God, we're praying for those. those that have ignored your plan of salvation. Father God, we ask you right now in Jesus' mighty name that you will teach them and let them come back to the fold. Hallelujah. I just speak blessing on this broadcast to those that are first-time hearers, listeners. I thank you for it, Father God. I pray the prayer of Isaiah 40:31 over their life. I pray also, Father God, that Psalms 91 and be over this broadcast. And these and all blessings, Father God, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Our subject this week has been fighting the good fight of faith. And we're fighting, brothers and sisters. Our foundational scripture is found in 1 Timothy 6. And we're going to read the 12 and 13 verses. And it reads as follows. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession, professed before many witnesses. The 13th verse says, and I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and behold, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And Monday, and we're going to just share some scriptures that the Lord had. I mean, we shared a bunch of them during the week, but just a few that really jumped out at me this week. Maybe there's some that jumped out at you this week, and maybe you want to share them as well. I know we're into another year. For those that living by the year, once you're living in eternity, the days and months and years doesn't matter. It's all become the same, praise God. So we, but for those that are living, I know you said you're going to forget last year, and that's great, and that's powerful. But by the same token, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to think about where you're at right now. And where you're at right now, you fighting a good fight. And this fight is a fight of faith. You're not fighting the devil. You're fighting for your faith to stay strong so you can lay hands on eternal life. And that's what we really need to be sharing this week and going forward is about our eternal life, what we have to do to lay hold on it. We've been called for this, and we have to profess a good profession, okay? So Monday, we talked about, trying to find my little notes here, John 20, 28 and 29 was another scripture that jumped out at me, so we're going to go there. With John, John 20, and you all bear with me today. My readers, the ones that I know God uses on this broadcast hadn't showed up. There's some other people here, but in John 20 and 28:29, reads like this. It says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. And the 29th verse says, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And that scripture was about believing, brothers and sisters. That scripture was about believing, and that was one of the scriptures we talked on. I believe that might have been Monday or Tuesday. Another scripture that we discussed this week has to do with God's promise. Over there in James 1 and 12, it says, blessed is the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James says, hearken, beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, the riches in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? And that's a promise from God. And so his word promised us a lot of things, brothers and sisters. What we have to do is get in there and find what promise you're looking for, what promise working for you today, okay? Another thing jumped out at me this week. Another thing I saw this week that jumped out at me was the fact that, I think it was Tuesday. Y'all bear with me here. It says in 1 Timothy 12, fighting a good fight of faith. First of all, you have to get the right understanding about faith. And then we'll talk about fight in a moment. But faith is the word of God. That's what faith is. That's just real plain and simple. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So if faith is your substance, then what is your substance? Your substance is what you're depending on. That's what your substance is. You all that have jobs, your substance is your job. You're dependent on that for survival. So it is when it comes to the word of God. Faith, the word of God become your substance. That's what you're dependent on. That's what you're relying on. That's what you're trusting in. It's the word of God. So when people say, oh, yeah, I know what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then turn around and ask them, say, well, what is your substance? They know it's substance, but they don't know what the substance is. So, hey, bless God, you know what the substance is. Now, the substance is the word of God. That's what you're relying on. People that get a check every month, their substance is that check every month. Yeah, it's like the floor that you're standing on or sitting on or laying on. That's your substance. That's holding you. So what holds us as Christians is the word of God. So we're fighting to keep our substance, which is the word of God. So to fight a good fight, and the reason it says good fight, because you're winning. Hallelujah. Isn't that good to know that you're winning? That's awesome, brothers and sisters. We're fighting a good fight because you're winning. Why? Because the word of God is good. Try him. Taste and see how good the word of God is. That's why it's good. I tell you another reason that this fight is good. Because we got a good coach, which happens to be the Holy Ghost. See, in every, matter of fact, just about in every part of life, you have a coach. We talked about that one day. In football, you got a coach. Basketball, you got a coach. It doesn't matter. Even on your job, a lot of jobs now are going to coach. They have somebody to coach up the people. In other words, to teach them and show them the ropes. See, hockey have a coach. Soccer have coaches. Even nutritional directors are coaches.
Yeah.
And we have a coach. How I know that? Because over in, and I'll find that right quick, over in Matthew's 19 and 26, we're going to go there right quick. See, the Holy Ghost's job is to guide us and direct us. That's what a coach does. So in Matthew's 19 and 26, bless God, hallelujah, you just bind up everything that's kind of hindering this broadcast today and things that's coming against us, hallelujah. It's all good. I'm just giving God the victory because he deserves it. He deserves all the victory. He deserves all the praise. Listen, brothers and sisters, we've already won. You got to see it like that. You already won. You already have the victory, okay? So in Matthew's 19 and verse 26, reads, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, man, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that has to become more than just a slogan. That has to become our lifestyle, knowing that with God all things are possible. And we shared a little bit about that on the other day. All things are possible with God. Hallelujah. We're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll read it out of the Messenger Bible. That would be Matthew's 19 and 26.
Amen, amen. Praise God and Happy New Year to everybody. All right, let me get the glasses, Pastor, and I'll be able to read that. Amen. All right. Matthew 19 and verse 26. Amen. You back it up here. Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Amen, amen.
So with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So as you go into 2022, know that with God on your side, everything is possible. I tell people all the time, when God sent spies, told them to go search out the land, the children of Israel, and all of them came back with different reports. They had discouraging reports. And finally, God told Joshua and Caleb to go check out the land. They came back and said, yes, Lord, there's giants in the land. Yes, Lord, the land is well fortified. But with you on our side, it's possible. Listen, brothers and sisters, because you have God now, it's possible. Whatever the impossible just became possible. And as quiet as it gets, you are possible now. You're possible to have the mind of Christ. You're possible. It's possible for you to act like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when people say, oh, you know, you act like you God said, that's possible. Yeah, because Christ in me is the hope of glory. Let them know.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Your coach will direct you that way. That's what a coach does. A coach that the Holy Spirit, you were saying something, Pastor?
No, I was just saying that's right, Pastor.
Oh, the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us. His job is to direct us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all predicated on you being in Christ and Christ in you. Now, we're not going to talk about it today, but listen, brothers and sisters, when it comes to God, stop letting people fool you with all that crazy talk. See, the people perish for the lack of knowledge. God is a God. Yeah, he keep his promise, but God is a conditional God. God is a God that is predicated on, hey, you got to do something. A lot of people think, oh, well, if you know God, you don't have to do nothing. That would be another lie.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
Because he said, if you confess. Well, the word if is a possibility. It mentioned 532 times in the Bible. If you love me. If you keep my word. Talk to a sister this morning. If you abide in the word. That's all predicated on you. That's a condition. That's what that word. In John 15, find that for me, Pastor. I don't have all my readers today, but if you'll find that John 15. See, a lot of people don't see the word of God like it really is. They want to make it to be something that it's not. But listen, brothers and sisters, you have to if you want to know the truth, you will have to deal with truth, okay? And Jesus said, yes, I'm the vine. My Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purged it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, oh, that's great. Oh, that is fantastic. Then he tells us that you won't be able to bear fruit unless you abide in him. And here's the kicker. The seventh verse says, now, he's already told you, you got to stay connected. You're going to be able to bear fruit. Bearing fruits is fruits of righteousness. It's not people. That's just another lie. But in the seventh verse, it says this. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's conditional. You want to read that out of the Message Bible, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. Of every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit, and every branch that is great bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are ready pruned back. I'm sorry, you are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate, and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Excuse me. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on a bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. So the word if is conditional, brothers and sisters. It's all conditional. It's not automatic. So when you hear people talk about, oh, I love the Lord, and I don't know if you love the Lord or not. I need to line it up with the word of God. I need to see if what you saying line up with the word of God. I need to see, and I'm saying you might belong to a church and you might this and you might that. I get all of that. But here's the thing. The word says, if ye abide in me. How know you abiding in him? Well, here's how you know. You know because they're going to speak the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. See, you don't have anything else to say other than what the word say, because the word is what's in you. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, because what's in you is the word of God, which happens to be the spirit of God. That's what God does. So people tell you, oh, well, you know, God, this guy. Man, let folks show it to you in the word of God. That's what I say. That makes a lot of sense to me. But we thank God for that. And then we got into, I don't know if it was Wednesday. Let's see, Wednesday. My notes got wet, Pastor. We did Hebrews 4 and 14. So let's go to Hebrews 4 and 14. That was Wednesday. Unless anybody have any other thing you want to share that we did this week before we got to Wednesday. Because in Wednesday, we talked about the calling as well. But mainly, we talked about abiding in the Lord. So in Hebrews 4, you got time to find this. And we're just doing a review, so it may not be in some kind of set order or some homiletically arranged or some special order or 5 points this or 3 points that. This is just a review, things that we went over this week, and we're going back over them this week, high points on certain things. So in Hebrews 4, and 14. And while you're there, if you get a chance, go back to the 12th verse. Because let's talk about what the word does, how it brings life to your spirit, and how powerful it is. But the 14th verse says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Amen. From the Message Bible, now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. Amen, amen.
But notice the Bible says, thank you, Pastor. But notice what it says. It says, our.
Mm-hmm.
You got to catch that.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Our high priest.
Mm-hmm.
See, the world have their high priest, and then we have our high priest. Our high priest is Christ. Seeing that we have a great high priest. You know, the high priest job was to take your offering and whatever offerings of a bull or a calf, or he was to take that. He would take your offering. Because we're in the New Testament and we're living in the new order. Remember Hebrews says that we're living in Hebrews 10, 20. We're living in a new way now, in other words. And this new way is predicated on us having Christ as our high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passing to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Our profession is what Christ takes care of. So when you start confessing and professing the word of God over your life, he makes it real. Just like in the Old Testament, when they high priest, when they profess something, like do a mercy seat, or the high priest, well, you would give your offering, just tell you how this works. You give your offering to the priest, and the priest will give it to the high priest. Well, we don't have that anymore. We are priests. That's what we are. So our high priest is Christ. See that? That mm-hmm. priest has been taken out. People who still want to live by the Old Testament, they still living up under that priesthood. But because you are a new creature and you acknowledging God's new way and his new order, your high priest now is Christ, bless God. See? So that has to become a reality, brothers and sisters. This is our great high priest. I wish I had time just to talk about the great high priest. I'm just trying to cover some of this stuff that we went over last week. But in Hebrews 3 and 1, Hebrews 3 and 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, look what God calling us. That have nothing to do with sex. Now, when you see the word brethren, that has to do with your spirit now. So he calls us holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Remember, we're part of that calling now, but you got to answer it. That's condition. I mean, you could ignore the call and say, look at the call and say, oh, my niece called me this morning. I looked and saw, I said, oh, I'll talk to her later. Well, sometimes you have to accept the call if you want to deal with that person. So it is here. Mm-hmm. There's a heavenly calling. Yeah. Have you accepted the calling yet? Have you said hello? He said, consider the apostles and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He said Christ Jesus, meaning the Spirit. I tell people all the time, that's not a typo. That's real. It's spirit now, then flesh. Before it was flesh, then spirit. But since Christ became that sacrifice for us, it's spirit. That's what we're living in. We're living in the spirit now. We're living by the spirit. Yeah. That's what we do.
Amen.
He is our great high priest. He's over all those other high priests.
Yes.
So Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast what comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
Don't be wavering. You have to be careful with what come out of your mouth. You know why? You're like God now.
All right.
I wish I could just really explain all of this stuff, but let me tell you, what you do now is what you're going to leave here with. That's the reason next week we're going to talk about being eternally ready. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for our eternity, our eternal life.
Yeah.
It's more than just getting saved, and it's conditional. So we're going to be fighting for our eternal life. And it's a good fight because living eternally is good. But you got to hold fast to that. You got to start speaking the word in every instance, in every situation. Well, that's what we're doing here. We're training. We're in training to how we're going to live in eternity. You can't go up there letting anything be Lord of your life other than Christ. Christ is Lord. So you'll say things like, by his stripes, I'm here. You don't care. You know, that's what the devil did. He got all them other angels to side. He got one-third of them anyway, to side with him. Well, brothers and sisters, we got to learn how to side with Christ in every situation. We got to have a good confession. And that good confession, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, you know. Got to get it in your spirit, in your heart. We talked about that, in your heart, not that 4-inch thing in your chest, not that thing to pump blood. Your spirit is your spirit man. It's called a hidden man of the heart. You got to get that word deep in there because you will be tried. And you're going to come forth like pure gold. You know why? Because that's what the Holy Ghost is doing now, is training us to have a good profession of faith without wavering. You know, God wants us to remain faithful to his word.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to take a couple minutes here. Anyone have anything they want to share from last week? Because y'all got me doing all the talking today. Doing the prayer, the talking, doing it all today. But praise God. I give him glory.
Amen. I'd just like to read those scriptures that you quoted, Hebrews 3 and 1. I want to read that first from the Message Bible. Excuse me. My dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe, faithful in everything God gave him to do. Now, let me read that again. That pastor, he just talked about how precious we are to the Lord. And as I read this, it just confirms that. It says, so, my dear Christian friends, companions, in following this call to the heights. So right there is saying to us, we're his companions. It said, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. That part really caught my eye. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Talking about Jesus. And also says, faithful in everything God gave him to do. Amen. So we thank God for his son Jesus and his son being faithful. And then so from God's word it reads, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. So look carefully at Jesus and chief priest about whom we make our declaration of faith. Amen. Verse 2 says from God's word, Jesus is faithful to God who appointed him in the same way that Moses was faithful when he served in God's house. Amen. Oh, I like that. And also, Pastor read 4, Hebrews 4:14. But you know, I'm going to start with that 12th verse. Let me read it from the Message Bible first. So starting with that 12th verse, it says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious of God's word. We can't get away from it. No matter what. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experience it all but the sin. And then that 16th verse says, so let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help message to us. First of all, He's our great high priest. And then next it talks about how he's not out of touch, because it says a priest who is out of touch with our reality. So it says we don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. Isn't that good to know? We can go to him anytime, day or night. He's there for us. That ending in that verse just says, so let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. Praise God. And so I just thank God for his word. Reading those from God's word, that I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor, from God's word, verses 12 through 16 reads, God's word is living and active. Can I say that again? God's word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts as deep as the place where soul and spirit meet, place where joints and marrow meet. God's word judges a person's thoughts and intentions. No creature can hide from God. Everything is uncovered and exposed for him to see. We must answer to him. We need to hold on to our declaration of faith. We have a superior chief priest who has gone through the heaven. Person is Jesus, the Son of God. We have a chief priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way that we are, but he didn't sin. So we can go confidently to the throne of God's kindness to receive mercy and find kindness, which will help us at the right time. Amen, amen. Back to you, Pastor.
Amen. Anyone else? Thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else? Press one. Anyone else? Brother from Kentucky was there. Brother, sister, let me tell you what. Consider this, okay? We ought to give the more earnest heed lest we slip away from the truth. You got to pay attention to what the word is saying. You got to hold on to it. You cannot afford to neglect this great salvation. It's great. It's not like other salvation. This salvation is great. How I know that? Because in Hebrews 2, or maybe Hebrews 3, got it. I think it's Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and 3. It said that we have this great salvation, not any kind of salvation. And this salvation, what makes it great is because we have a great high priest. We are a great people. So we have a great high priest who is better than a Moses, who's better than Joshua.
All right.
Who's better than the priest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he's better than Melchizedek. And everybody knew Melchizedek record. Christ is better than an Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than an Aaron.
All right.
Christ became the perfect sacrifice. He became the perfect priest. Matter of fact, Aaron was a priest after the law. Christ became an eternal priest.
Hallelujah.
See, he's
Lord.
Better. All the other priests gave was hope. Christ gave us faith. Faith is having that title deed, is having that assurance, that guarantee. Christ became a better sacrifice than the Old Testament sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
His atonement was far better. Matter of fact, the Bible says, now everybody can't get to this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Christ was so much better until he abolished the laws. Hebrews 10:9. His sacrifice was so much better until you don't even have a conscience of who you used to be. It's who you are in him because you did. Christ give us that. He made us a partaker. He let you take your part in ministry. He let you take your part with him. Okay? He's better than angels. I can give you so many facts, but at another day, another time, just want you to know, brothers and sisters, hold on to your confession, whatever your confession is. If it's 1 Peter 5:7, casting all my cares on him, hold to that. Confess it every day. Put signs in your bathroom, in your garage, on your car, whatever you're holding fast to. That means you got a grip on it. Don't let it go.
That's right. Hold on.
See,
amen.
When you understand what a hold fast to, that means you your possession ownership. When you talk about holding fast, that means this mine. When you know it's yours, you gonna hold fast. That means you gonna hold that thing tight.
That's right. Amen.
But you're going to declare and declare it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happens, you're not willing to give it up.
Amen.
When you hold into it, and let me tell you something else too, and I'm going to be done. When you hold into something, it's because you don't want it to get away. You hold into something because it's precious to you.
Amen.
You see these old ladies, they hold on to their pocketbooks. Well, some of the young ones do now because they'll take them from anybody. But you hold on to it. If you have to put it in the trunk of your vehicle, you find a way to keep possessing it. That's the idea. So if whatever you confessing is what you possessing. So if you confess something, it's because you're possessing it. And if you're possessing it, you're holding on to it.
Yeah. Amen.
Does that
make
sense? So when you said Romans 8:16, I'm a child of God, you ought to say it every day. You ought to say it every day until the devil leave you.
That's right. Amen.
Therefore, now is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, that's conditional. You may not be in Christ. Because you belong to a church, you got your name on a roll, that don't mean you're in Christ. That ain't what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who are you to say, well, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. I can show you in the Word of God. You have to be in Christ. He never told you had to join a church. That's a bunch of malarkey. See, you got to stop letting your mind play tricks. Just whatever God's Word says, say that. You don't have to say anything else. He said, hold on, and if you don't understand something, look it up. Can't find no answer, call me. You up north, call pastor.
Amen.
Yeah. But it's just I tell people all the time, we're led by the Holy Spirit. He's teaching us day in and day out. He's teaching us how to hold on, how to cling to, how to grip something. You're holding on to your eternal life. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. You got to palm that thing. Like Michael Jordan palmed the basketball or LeBron James. They palmed that thing so they go all the way up and throw it in the net. That's holding on to it. And there's some people going to try to block that shot, but he hold on to it until he dunk it. Well, that's the same thing. Hey. So we got to hold on to our eternal life. You get it, then you hold on to it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay. Well, we thank you all so much. Anybody else before we leave? We're going to do the after-hour thing. Anybody else?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I want to thank Pastor Marilyn for reading. She read Wednesday. I want to thank Pastor, and Evangelist Karen. She read Monday and Tuesday. So I'm just thankful for you guys. And Evangelist Renee, she's such a blessing. Her testimony was such a blessing the other day. But we'll get back into it next week. And meanwhile, y'all stay blessed. And we'll see you on next week.